Continue our study tonight on I Love Your Ways, and I believe that those of you who have been a part of this for a while are loving God's ways, aren't you? Yeah. This is part 25, which really is irrelevant because we're just taking each week at a time and taking a different aspect of God's character and studying it. And because when Moses first came to know God or know about him, he said, "Lord, know me, teach me your ways so that I might know you." And so we're just taking one week at a time and studying God's ways so we can know him. And as a result, we find that we ourselves are becoming more and more like him because of that knowledge. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the thing, and I know it was in the email that went out, that we're going to be talking about patience tonight, and that might be one of the reasons why they got the low attendance, because patience is never, I mean, I've been in the ministry now almost 40 plus years. Patience is one of those things you just don't advertise you're going to talk about because people stay away by the thousands, right? And ever since I got saved, the cliche was, don't ever pray for patience because why? Because you're going to get trials to give you the patience, right? So that's kind of a Christian cliche. And like most cliches, I don't agree with it. I believe if it's God's character, that is something that is good and that we should want it and we should have it. Ironically, though, this week as I sat down to write this message on patience, I happened to have three of my grandchildren. And Ethan is three, and then Maya is, I think she's, what, eight, seven? And then Colin is nine, I believe, or eight. So 3 to 8, and I'm sitting down to write a message, and they're there, and so you can guess what was tried, right? And it was ironic, because, I mean, I knew it. I absolutely knew that this was going to happen, but I just found myself, having to fight, being on edge and snapping at the kids, which I'm really not usually that way with them. But because I was writing this message and my mind was on it, I was especially tempted to move toward impatience. And that brings me to the conclusion that it absolutely is a spiritual thing, that patience is a spiritual virtue. It is a character of God. And there are few things that Satan will try to work in our life more than impatience. And I'm going to tell you right now why that is, and then I'll show you the scriptures for it. But the reason is because when people see our patience, they interpret that as the love of God. And when we are impatient, they interpret that as hypocrisy because we are not showing the love of God. Okay, that's where we're going with this. Everybody say amen or oh me. Amen. Okay. But this patience is a biggie. All right. So we're going to move into this. But I've been saying all along in this, since we came to the soul, God redeeming our soul, which is made up of the heart, the mind, and the subconscious, that God is in the process of redeeming it and restoring it back to normal because of what was lost through the fall. And tonight we're going to be talking about how God's going to redeem patience back into our heart so that we can be calm and at peace and have joy and demonstrate love. Because what I'm going to be saying tonight is, okay, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. All right? I'll say it again. Love, joy, peace, patience. All right? No. Why is patience fourth in the list, right? Why is love first? Because love is first and foremost, and love from love, everything else emanates. If we have the love of God in our hearts, then joy is there. If we've got the joy of the Lord and his presence is with us, then there's this peace that surpasses comprehension. If we have joy and peace, then patience, the patience of God is in our hearts, and we exhibit that patience toward ourselves and toward others. When we lose our peace, we lose our joy, guess what's missing? Love, but patience. Okay, what I'm going to be saying tonight, I'm telling you right up front what I'm going to be telling you. Patience is the physical proof of love, joy, peace. Patience is the physical proof of love, joy, peace.
Oh, no, I wish I hadn't come tonight.
All right. Patience is an emotion of the heart, right? We talk about God's restoring the heart. The heart is a seat of desire and emotion. Emotion is emotion. Emotions is what moves us. Ultimately, whatever moves us is because we have a feeling, right?
There, you know, and we tried, you know, we always say, well, don't follow your feelings. That's the caboose, you know, whatever.
But the fact of the matter is that everybody is moved by your feelings because your feelings reside in your heart. And those feelings ultimately is what moves you to action. Right? And I'm going to explain again why that is in a minute. But let's read together Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Let's read together James 5:8. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Let's read it together and aloud again. You too be patient, strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. We're going to be seeing this more as we go through this. A strong heart is a patient heart. What I'm going to be asking on my very last slide, are you willing to work out your heart to gain the strength you need to be patient as God is patient with you so that others can see Christ in you and see Christ's love in you? But to strengthen your heart, that's a workout, isn't it? Okay. Strength is developed by incrementally increasing usage so the living tissue adapts and grows to the requirement placed upon it. No, I didn't get that out of a book. I wrote that. But how many of you have ever gained strength in anything? Come on, all of you have. You've all worked out to some degree, right? You don't get stronger by lifting less and less weight. You have to incrementally increase it in order to gain strength. In the same way, God strengthens our heart by giving us more and more to lift. No. Okay. We've talked about this, that life lift comes from following God's ways. The death spiral comes from following man's ways. Patience is one of God's ways, and it creates a life lift. Remember we talked about the thermals? That if you will follow God's ways and make God's ways your goal and what you really want to accomplish, your life will get better and better. Your relationships will get better and better. You'll prosper more and more. But as we follow man's ways and go down that way, we get into this downward spiral. And our relationships start going sour. Our jobs start going sour. Our life starts going sour because we're following man's ways instead of God's ways. One of God's ways, in fact, one of his ways is so much so his ways that he's called the God of patience. Real quick, refresher. Let's read together 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say it together aloud. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a body. The reason you're still here is because God is working at perfecting you, spirit, soul, and body. That's why you're still here. Hey, the soul has three parts, the heart, the mind, and the conscience, right? The heart is a part of the soul. It's the seat of emotion and desire. I'm going real fast because this is all review, right? But you have to, why I go over is because the heart, our very first scripture said, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Your heart, everything starts with your heart. The most important thing you're ever going to do in this life is get your heart redeemed, get it strengthened, get it the way God created it to be, because that will direct your entire life, and it will actually produce the life that you have. And that's why I keep saying, whatever you have right now, it's because your heart wanted it. Okay? Why is it so important to walk, to watch over your heart with all diligence? Why does the Bible say direct your heart? Why does it say make your heart, do this and that? Because everything starts with your heart. Because what your heart wants, your heart is the seat of your desire, right? Remember, I want to put out the disclaimer, right? I'm not saying, oh, you're saying because because I've got chronic degenerating discs in my back, then that's what I wanted. No, I've said over and over again, in this life, we live in a fallen world. Bad things happen. We don't have control over all those things. But God has given us control over the things that really, truly matter. And the fact is that most of us, most people that I've met in my life, want to ignore the things that they have control over and blame God or blame others for what they don't have control over. But what if you will control what God gives you control over, you will have a wonderful life. So, what your heart wants, remember the heart is the seat of desire and emotion. That's what you think about. That's what you think about. Okay? If it's, you know, I don't know, what do ladies want? You know, one of the hard things about, you know, at least for me to wrap my mind around the feminine mindset. Uh-oh, Kathy's laughing. Rick's going to dig a hole for himself here. But, you know, it seems to me that women want, what's most important to them is relationships. And relationships is one of those things in that category that we can't really control other than what we do. We can't make other people do what we want them to do, right? And that's what is so frustrating. Whereas guys tend to be more materialistic. I mean, I'm a guy. I know. I mean, I can set my mind on a new rifle or a new motorcycle, a new bicycle. I set my mind on the material stuff, and it comes to pass. I don't really think that much about relationships because I'm a guy. And I mean, you know, I could be the fluke of the guys, but I don't think I am. Now, nevertheless, what it goes back to, what can you control? Right? And the fact of the matter is, we don't control the people. We don't control, obviously, the world and so forth. But for us to know what God's given us to control is everything. And that ultimately does play into our relationships and everything else. So anyway, what you want is what your mind thinks about. Right? Now, I'm a guy, so I know what I as a guy think about. Right? I already said some of the things I think about. Guys think about sex, right? That's what guys think about. I don't think women do. I don't know what they think about. But okay, there's the hole I'm digging for myself now, right? But guys are so different, you know. So anyway, whatever you really want, and that's how you're going to find out what you really want, what do you think about? What do you think about? Because that's what you're telling your mind is most important to you. When you constantly think about something, you're telling your subconscious that that's what you want to happen. Your subconscious tells your body to take the necessary actions to accomplish or to get whatever it is that your mind is telling it that you want. Your mind got its direction from your heart. And that's why your body, right now, it is absolutely always only simply doing exactly what your heart really, truly wants more than anything else. You might say, well, no, I don't want to go to work. I just go to work because I have to. No, your heart wants whatever that work is going to buy for you more than whatever it else is that you'd rather do. If you'd rather do something else besides get whatever that money, whatever money you'd get from that work, you'd be doing it. All right, I'm getting off the track a little bit here, but let's read together Proverbs 27:19. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. What's that mean? That means whatever you've got right now, that's what your heart wanted. And I can tell exactly what your heart wanted by talking to you and find out what you've got. Whether it be material, marriage, relationship, anything, you've got what you wanted, and that's what you did, and that's what you've got. All right. The heart's easily influenced, changed, and cannot be trusted, right? We already talked about that. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. The fruit of the Spirit is the original pre-fall climate of the heart. Let's read it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Right. Those things are the fruit of the Spirit. Those things make up. If you want to know who God is and what his character is, there it is. That is God's character right there in a nutshell. Nine characteristics. You want God, let me know your ways. God's saying, I am love. I am joy. In my presence is fullness of joy. I am joy. I am peace. I am patience. I am kindness. Right down the line. Well, I want to know God. Well, right there you have it. God is called the God of patience. Let's read together Exodus. Let's read together Romans 15:5 together. Now may the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Now, it's something that he calls God the God of patience. This is Paul. He calls God the God of patience. And he's saying, may you have the same patience toward one another as God has toward you. How many of you are glad that God is patient with you? You know, Lamentations says that if it were not for the mercies of God, we'd all be consumed. You know, everybody in this room, we are here right now because of God's patience. That's why we're here. Everybody living on the planet right now is here because God is patient. Let's define patience. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. I like that definition. Let's read it together. The capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Why don't we read it like I have the capacity, shall we? And see how you feel about reading that for yourself. Ready, together? I have the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Now let's say God has the capacity. You ready? God has the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Let's read together Ephesians 4:2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, show tolerance for one another in love. Show tolerance for one another in love. Okay. When does patience happen? It happens when we are being kind. It happens when we are being forgiving. It happens when we're being compassionate. It happens when we're being merciful, empathetic, and understanding. So we're impatient when others, we're impatient with others when we think they have done something stupid or wrong. They do something the way that we would not do it. Different than we would do it. When we think they're being unthoughtful or inconsiderate. You know, I'm sitting there doing my, you know, trying to work on my on this lesson. And, you know, and I said, now, okay, guys, let's just be quiet for a few minutes. Let Grandpa work on his message here for a little bit, right? Grandpa, can I have milk? Grandpa, can I play puppet? Grandpa, can I, you know, and it's just like constant, right? You got right. You got little kids, right? It's constant. So, you know, when we feel like, you know, when somebody pulls out in front of you and you're driving your car, right? You know, how do we respond? Right? I mean, we're talking about having love, joy, and peace as our state of being, right? Actually, it's just the way that we are, that we allow our heart to be that way. And if our heart has love, joy, and peace residing and ruling it, then when somebody pulls out in front of us or does something stupid, it's just like the other day I was pulling out from Lowe's. I had the twins in the back, and I was pulling across. I got the green light. I was going across from Lowe's over to McDonald's, and here comes. I looked to my left, and here's a guy. I mean, he was flying, and I said, "Yo!" And I slammed on my accelerator, and he slammed on his brakes, and he skidded. And I mean, I was moving, but I mean, Cole and Jake were like looking like this. Grandpappy's gonna hit ya! But he didn't hit us, right? But then they're like, "What was wrong with that guy? What was he doing? He was probably on his cell phone, and I mean, I don't want to make myself look good, but at that one time, I said to the kids, now kids, there's really no reason to. I mean, anybody could have done that. It doesn't make that person a bad person." I said, we don't know. He might have just had a big fight with his wife and his mind is somewhere else, right? He could have been thinking about, he maybe just lost his job. He's wondering how he's going to pay his bills, and he's not thinking at all about, he's just driving on. So I was trying to explain that, but what my point is that, what impatience happens when we snap. We snap when peace is not ruling in our heart because we are looking at other people, and we're being judgmental toward them. And the hardest thing for us as Christians, is having the patience towards other people that God has toward us. It is just so easy to jump to conclusions about people rather than saying, God, you give me the benefit of the doubt over and over and over again. So, God, you've been patient with me. Help me be patient with others. And that's why, when we talk about patience, what we're really talking about is the state of heart that there is a kindness, a compassionate, a forgiving, merciful, empathy, empathy is trying to put yourself in the other person's shoes, in the other person's place. I know I've tried to learn this because of people that are critical with me and toward me, and I'm thinking, I wonder what they would do if they had gone through the same things that I did. Or I wonder, if they were in my shoes. The other day, somebody texted me, that they were angry with me because I had made a decision. Well, I was in the ministry, and they've harbored this for a long time. And my thought was, I wonder how they would have handled that same situation had they been put in that situation. That's, and again, I know this is making me sound wonderful, and I should be telling you stories of when I lost my patience and all that. And maybe we'll get to some of those. I don't know. I don't plan my stories. I just talk. But the thing I'm trying to say is that this getting ourselves, giving people room, that, if we had been born in their shoes and went through they went, maybe we wouldn't have turned out like they did, but we certainly would at least be able to understand why they do things differently than we do. And we can be patient with them. patient. Why? Because God gives us room. We got to have room. A couple of weeks ago, I said to Jen and Cliff and everybody at the staff meeting, I said, you just got to be patient with me here because, you know, I'm going through a role reversal here. I'm feeling my way through the dark here. I don't really, nobody's ever done this before. I've never done it before. I'm just trying to find my way. Just be patient with me. I said the same thing to Nancy. Just be patient with me. Right? We need patience. We need people to give us room because we're going through stuff. People are going through stuff. And we don't know where they're going to end up. I mean, God knows, but we don't know. I don't know where I'm going to end up, But one thing that is never helpful is when we try to push people the direction we want them to go. That doesn't work. Just watch a couple episodes of Everybody Loves Raymond and look at the mom, right, with the guilt thing, right? Guilt doesn't work. We got to give people. So, when we find ourselves snapping at people, right? Do I snap at people? Absolutely. I try not to. I think I do it less now than I used to. I'm trying to get my heart strengthened so that I can be patient and not be an impatient person. An impatient person has a weak heart. They can't tolerate delay or a lack of gratification immediately. That's a weak heart. We got to get strong hearts. We got to be able to take delay and wait with a sense of expectation and not let ourselves get upset and grumbly and angry and lashing out and trying to manipulate people. So when patience is missing, love, joy, and peace went missing first. Okay? When you are being impatient and you're snapping at people, you're talking badly about people because they're doing something differently than what you would do or what you want them to do, hey, you've lost your love, joy, and peace. Peace is not ruling in your heart. And we're being judgmental and critical. See, this is going over like a lead balloon here. Okay. Impatient Christian, that's an oxymoron. I have lived my entire Christian life hearing people make excuses for being impatient and grumbly. There's no excuse. There's no more excuse to be impatient as there is to be unforgiving. We are to be patient with others as God's patient with us. We're to forgive others as God forgave us. Being a Christian is all about understanding God's patience. It goes to the end of the world with us. His love is fathomless. Let's read together from Matthew 18. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." Okay, so we know this story, right? This guy owed $20 million to the king, and he said, "Be patient with me." That's where I got that phrase. Be patient with me, and I'll repay you everything. I didn't make any promises. Just be patient with me, right? He made a promise. Anyway, it turns out he had a guy that owed him $20, right? And what did he do? Threw him in jail because he wouldn't pay his $20. And this is how the king responded. "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way that I had mercy on you?" Whenever we're impatient with someone, it's because they owe us something. I was impatient with my grandkids because they owed me peace and quiet for an hour. Right? I know Nancy's saying, "No, they didn't." No. I know that, but I don't know that. if somebody pulls out in front of you. I know the other day I pulled out in front of a guy up on Route 209. I mean, the guy was just barely moving, it looked like, you know. And there was nobody coming the other way, so I pulled out, you know. And I gunned it. Well, the guy sped up and gave me the finger, right? Right up on my bumper, giving me the finger, right? Now, that's not, you know, but being the empathetic person that I am, I understand. I've caused you delay. I'm an old dude, you know. But here's my point. My point is that when somebody pulls out in front of us, we feel like they owe us time. You just stole from me 10 seconds. How dare you inconvenience me that way? I have a right to get mad at you. I have a right to give you the finger. And then he rode my bumper the whole way down to the light down at Platz's there. I thought, well, maybe I'm going to get a chance to get into this here with that guy. But he wouldn't make eye, I was looking at him, but he wouldn't make eye contact with me. So I was going to give him a hi. But, you know, when we get impatient, it's mercy, forgiveness, it's all the same that we feel like we've been somehow disadvantaged or taken advantage of, or, you know, because of somebody's stupidity or somebody's wrong actions. Maybe they were being inconsiderate, maybe they just didn't think it through, whatever, but they should have. And of course, from God's perspective, looking at this guy, he's saying, you wicked slave. You're angry at that guy for delaying you 3 seconds, and I forgave you all your sins. I died on a cross for you. No, there's just a lack of perspective. And one of the reasons I feel it's so important for me to go through these lessons like this is that we get God's perspective on things. It can cure our heart. It can strengthen our heart so that we don't have to lose our peace. We don't have to lose our joy. We don't have to be impatient. We can actually be calm, cool dudes and enjoy our life and not always be miserable and frustrated because of what other people are doing. God is not frustrated in heaven. He's not crying over the sinful people. There's fullness of joy in heaven. In heaven, there is laughter and happiness like you can't even begin to imagine. Yep, God tests our heart by looking at our patience. Let's read together Proverbs 17:3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests hearts. Where does patience reside? In the heart. It's an emotion. Oh, Proverbs 17:20. This is where I got the cool dude. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. See, as opposed to a hothead, cool spirit, you know. Again, it comes understanding, trying to understand, and we can't understand, but just trying to understand that people are struggling. They don't have all the benefits that we have. They might not even have the benefit yet of knowing Jesus Christ. That's a game changer right there. But there's no question that a cool spirit is another way of saying patience. Let's read some more scriptures about patience. The Bible says that patience is the key to experiencing God's will. So many people just are frustrated and not experiencing God's best will. Let's read this together. Psalm 37, 7 through 11. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him.
Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. What an awesome promise. I mean, you know, I've said Psalm 37:4, of course, is the verse that changed my life. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. But that whole Psalm 37, it's on the condition of being patient, waiting on God. Just dwell in the land. Cultivate faithfulness. Do the right thing. Don't be looking at the wicked. Don't be worrying about what this person's doing. That. I mean, you know how it is when you're running a race and you're looking at the guy behind you, wondering what he's doing, right? You can't run it real well. You got to be focused on what God's called you to do. What is God telling you to do? What is, you know, and as a result, you know, not fretting, but resting. I mean, resting really is another word, another way to talk about being patient. Just rest. You see something you don't like? Just rest. Just give it to the Lord. Take a snooze. This concept is just, I mean, it is so basic to faith, so basic to the Christian way. Because what this verse is saying is that if you'll put your trust in God, it doesn't really matter what, you know, if people are personally attacking you, if somebody's trying to undermine you, if somebody, you know, it doesn't really matter what people are doing. As long as you put your trust in the Lord, keep your cool. Don't fret. Don't get angry, because anger causes you to do things that you don't make. It makes you irrational. And when you become irrational, you do stupid things. And when you do stupid things, you're not following God's way, and it tends to backfire on us. So just be cool. Just relax. Just rest. Give it to God. And go on about your business. Do what God's called you to do. And be happy. And what does he say will happen if you do that? You will inherit the land and will delight yourself in abundant prosperity. God, experiencing God's best will, is conditional on you waiting patiently for him. Guess what? Patience is the key to answered prayer and bringing others to Christ. Our patience with others is how they see and experience God's love. Let's read together Psalm 40, verse 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and hear and will trust in the Lord. One of the things that was a real struggle for me when I turned, I'm going to say around 50, 55, I started having a lot of chronic pain. And I went to the doctors, and, you know, they're trying to figure all this stuff out. One of the things they found out was that I had degenerating discs in my back. And my body wouldn't do what I wanted it to do, you know. And I would become so impatient, so angry, so upset. It was like, you know, I mean, it was a whole, going into another whole phase of life. And, you know, and dealing with chronic pain where there's pain all the time, that's something I'd never had before. And it was life altering. And I found myself getting very angry
And I was praying, you know, praying that I would be able to be delivered from this. I mean, I was still a young man, 50-some years old. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen right away at all. And it wasn't really until I was 60 that I finally, you know, got a back operation and they fused my back together and the pain went away. During that 10-year period of time, I had to learn to wait patiently on the Lord. I had to learn that, you know, being angry, being upset, being depressed is not helpful. That's not really going to solve this pain. Of course, during the same time, I was going through some other things, health-wise, and there again, you know, I was praying, and then I had whole body aches and stuff, and again, it was years that I was praying, and the reason I'm sharing this is because when it comes to getting answers to prayer, we live in a culture that expects immediate success, and I thought I was a great man of faith, and I thought that if I had faith, things were going to happen quick. God was going to come to my aid. I mean, I'm a preacher. People were getting saved. I mean, why would he want me to be in pain and not be able to do what I'm doing, right? So there are all kinds of things that go through your mind. All during this time, of course, you know, I'm journaling. I never stop preaching or teaching, you know. I mean, I'm still preaching and teaching, journaling, praying. And I got, in 1993 was when I first got diagnosed with the Hashimoto's, the whole symptom that made my body ache. It was a few years after that I got diagnosed with the chronic or the degenerating discs. My body was falling apart, right? 2012 was when I got the answer for the body aches and I got the back surgery. So there was about a 10-year period of time there where at first I cried out to the Lord and I was not waiting patiently. And so God gave me 10 years. Until I learned to stop lashing out at him and be angry and truly wait patiently, trusting in him, that he knows what he's doing. When I look at that verse, he brought me out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. I've shared a number of times. There were times when I wanted to take my life. I was in so much pain. I had made some really bad mistakes. There was so much going on. Sometimes the church was just overwhelming to me. There was times that I felt like I just, you know, I was in a miry pit. And I, you know, and I'm saying this because I want you to understand that God is not really after our convenience or, I mean, he wants to build our character. That was some heavy lifting that I had to do there. Real heavy lifting. For a long period of time. And when I say heavy lifting, I'm talking about strengthening your heart to gain patience and trust in God. Because really, patience is no different than trusting in God. If we're not trusting in him, then we're impatient, right? And we're angry and upset. But ultimately, he did bring me out. Am I perfect now? No. But I tell you what, when, you know, I deal with chronic pain, but it's different now. I give it to the Lord. I know he's going to work through it. I know I'm going to come out of it. And I don't even know how many people have come to Christ as a result of my sharing, continuing to share, not only those situations and those stories, but more than that, I know people have told me, Rick, I've watched you.
I've watched what you've gone through. And it's brought me to the Lord. Or it's brought me closer to the Lord. And, you know, the point that I'm trying to make, and again, I feel kind of bad and make myself look perfect, and I'm not perfect. At the same time, I want you to understand that patience is not one of those things that we can just say, that's optional. I can be an impatient Christian and still experience God's will and get my prayer answered and be a light in the world. It doesn't work that way. God will work on you to make you a patient person so that you can experience his best perfect will in his life. He wants you to get that faith, that life lift going. Let's read together faith and patience. Let's read together from Hebrews. Show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And having patiently waited, Abraham obtained the promise. Abraham waited how many years? 25 years? 100 years? 75 years? Yeah. I see Jerry sitting back there on the back row there. He's just telling me last week, and I won't get into the details because that's for you to share. But he had a really serious operation years ago. Shortly after that, was diagnosed with a really serious disease, life-threatening chronic disease. Just recently, I mean, and I know from being with Jerry and praying with Jerry, you've been praying for the healing of this condition for how many years? 8 or 10 years, yeah. Just now, in fact, this coming weekend, be praying for him. Is that okay for me to say that, Jerry? Be praying for Jerry. He's going in for an operation that most probably will correct this situation that he's had for 10 years. And just found this out. Now think about, for all those years thinking, how could God do this to me? How could this happen to me, With faith and patience. Faith and patience. You have to believe that God's good. You have to believe that he is good, that he wants the very best, that he wants you to be well. He wants you to be healed. He wants your relationships to be good. But you have to be patient and keep praying and not become angry, not become upset, but just trust in the Lord. Keep it before him. And sure enough, in due time, it will come to pass. He says here, Paul says, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I want to ask you, who's the most patient person that you know? Just stop a minute and think. Camille is the most patient person you know? Imitator. No, seriously. Huh? You try? Good. We all need to have somebody to imitate. Somebody that you know is a patient person, that you admire them for their patience. Imitate them. How do they respond in those situations? What do they do when something happens that should upset them or that delays them or troubles them? How do they respond? Faith and patience, gardening is an example. Okay, let's read this from James. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. It's interesting to me, here, this is James. He points to the farmer as an example of
what it takes to be patient. Now, we live in a culture. How many of you here have gardens? Wow. A lot of you have gardens. I'm impressed. Don't you think that most people that you talk to and know are separated from the ground and have no idea how to get how their food comes? They've never really, I mean, I know when they're in first grade, they, you know, the teacher makes them plant seeds in a little cup and they have to see them come up and stuff. But when we're separated from the ground, separated from the soil, we lose that touch of what it really takes for the things of life to come to us. That it does take time, that you have to give things room and time and be patient and let them work. Instead of just, you know, getting the bag out of the freezer and popping it in the microwave. We are a culture of immediate gratification. We are. And so, just the way that the culture has gone, it is creating an entire generation of impatience. How many of you, you're trying to check your Facebook? What's wrong with this internet? This stupid computer, right? What is that? This phone. I can't believe this phone. They charged me how much for this? That's part of our cult. We're in the culture of impatience. It's directly opposite from God. God has all the time in the world. And from his perspective, guess what? So do you. As I was preparing this message, I was thinking, I've spent most of my life being in a hurry. I'm not saying that's not a good thing. I should have preached this message 30 years ago and heard it. Because whatever you're anxious about, whatever, relax. God's got all the time in the world, and so do you. That person that you want to come to Christ, or that person that's, in a different, not a relationship that you want them to be in, relax. Give it time. Be patient. Give it to God. Let God work. Like the farmer, plant some seeds. What's that mean? Pray, give it to God, plant the seeds. Water it from time to time by reminding God of it. But let him work. I always say, pray and see what God does. Patience is unpopular because it creates some type of suffering for us, right? We're either going to be misunderstood. Most people are not empathetic and quickly jump to conclusions to conclude the worst about others. Come on. We live in a world where most people do not take the time to try to think, why did you just do what you just did? But you can be different. I can be different. We can be falsely accused, being actively attacked by others with an agenda. A loss of time, we can be delayed, failure to be timely as a result. Extra energy and time has to be exerted, right? I mean, somebody just told me the other day, they snapped at their kids, the worst they've ever done. Said, I don't even know what got into me, I just snapped at them. Well, it's because, I've done how many messages on child discipline? I mean, when a child's being bad, my word, you gotta stop everything that you're doing. And you gotta take them somewhere, right? And now you gotta talk to them, and you might have to spank them, and you might have to hold them. I mean, the whole thing might take half an hour out of your life. What an inconvenience. And so we just get out of here, stop that, go to your room. I don't wanna see your face. Go watch TV. Our goals and our hopes not immediately being fulfilled. Waiting is really enjoyable to our flesh, right? How many of you sit in doctor's offices, right? A lot of you aren't 50 yet, so you're not doing this yet, but you go and sit in a doctor's office or a dentist's office, right? I always carry my phone with me. I got my Kindle. I'm always reading a book. I'm always playing games. I look forward to that now, but I used to not. I used to get impatient, delaying my time. Well, he thinks his time is worth more than my time. Right? Patience is unpopular because it's creating some kind of suffering in our life. And we don't like that. We don't like suffering. How patient is God with you? Let's read together 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Think about that for a minute. I started out saying, the reason the world is still turning, the reason there's still people on the face of the earth, is because of God's patience. He's waiting for people to come to repentance. God's patience is proof of his kindness towards us. Read together Romans 2:4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? If God uses patience, tolerance, and kindness to lead us to repentance, how is he going to lead the people that you are praying for and wanting to come to Christ? How is he going to lead them to Christ? Through patience, kindness, and tolerance. That's how. We give people room. We give them love, unconditional. When they bring up conversations, we talk with them honestly, not judgmentally. We share with them what God's word says from the love of God's heart. This is how you can have a better life. This is what God's word says. God's mercy toward us demonstrates his perfect patience. Together? Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Of course, Paul was a murderer of innocent Christians, right? I mean, he murdered them, entire families, children, wives. That's why he says that he was the chief of sinners. And it's why he is a demonstration of Christ's perfect patience. He didn't strike him with a thunderbolt and destroy him in his sin. He appeared to him in a light and used him to bring others to Christ, modeling that same perfect patience to those who were lost. Let's read together Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. What is God's way? His mercies fail not. His compassions fail not. It is because of his mercy and compassion, because of his patience, that the world is still turning and people are still on the face of the earth. That's why. That's why we're still here. Patience is the only hope that the lost can come to their senses. Together and aloud, the Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? And then 2 Timothy 2, but refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. If somebody's going to come to their senses and repent and come to Christ, it's going to be because of our patience, teaching patiently, kindly, gently correcting those who are opposing themselves. Have you come to know and appreciate the patience of God toward you? I wonder here tonight, have you ever just stopped and thought about how patient God is with you? If you're like me, you're impatient with yourself, and you assume God is impatient with you also. You just assume that. It's a lie from the pit of hell. God is so patient with you, He even lets you do what you're doing. He is so patient with you, He's still working with you. He's still bringing people into your life. He's still bringing you to church. He's still working with you. How patient is He? He will never let you go. How patient is He? He's going to continue to let you go with your life, and He's going to keep bringing people across your path. He's going to keep bringing things into your life in the attempt to bring you to that place where you can come to your senses, the Bible says, and give your life to Christ. That's how patient He is. Are you willing to let that same patience show through you to others? This message has really, really helped me a lot as I've come to understand how patient God is with me. That I can let that's His way. That's what I love Your ways, Lord. How many of you love God for His patience toward you? Yeah. How many of you love His way of being patient? How do you feel toward somebody who's patient toward you? Huh? Thankful, appreciative, amazed. Right? We're so used to people being short with us and believing the worst and coming to the wrong conclusions. And, you know, it's an amazing thing when somebody's actually patient with us and takes the time to let us develop and grow. Are you willing to let that same patience grow in your heart? Are you willing to let your heart be strengthened? See, it's a strong heart because it requires a lot of trust in God. You're not going to manipulate things. You're not going to make people do things. You're not going to try to force somebody to do something. You're not going to win an argument. You're just going to give it to God and let God do. That takes a strong heart, man. You follow me? A weak heart wants to make things happen. Strong heart says, no, I trust God. I'm going to be patient with Him. If we could bow our heads for a moment, I wonder, is anybody here tonight who has never, ever shown their appreciation to God for His patience toward you by opening your heart up to Him and giving Him your life? That's all you can really do is say, Jesus, I ask You to come into my heart. I give You my life. Thank You for being so patient with me. If you've never done that, I'd like you to look up at me, let our eyes meet. I just want to agree together with you. Tonight's the night. You're opening your heart up to Jesus, and you're saying to Him, Jesus, thank You for being so patient with me. I give You my life. Anybody here tonight? I see you looking at me. I appreciate that. Yes, I agree together with you, too, both of you, yes. Anyone else tonight going to make that decision? Opening my heart up to Jesus, thanking Him for the patience that He's had with me to bring me to this place in my life. Anyone else here tonight? Now, I wonder if there's anyone here tonight who would say, Rick, I really want to show the kind of patience that God has for me. I want to show it to other people. I really want Him to work that patience in my life. If that's your case, just look up at me, let our eyes meet. We're going to let God strengthen our hearts. I see you all looking at me. Great, good, awesome. Who wouldn't want God to strengthen our heart that we can be patient, that others can see His love through us? Absolutely. Will you please pray this prayer with me together and out loud? Lord Jesus Christ,
I'm amazed at the patience that you have with me. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for giving me room to grow. Thank you for understanding more than I could possibly understand. And so, Lord, I give you my life. I open my heart up to you. Come and live in my heart and strengthen my heart so I can show the same patience to others that you have for me and that you have for them. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for freeing me from fretting. I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to wait patiently on you. I'm going to see you do what you do best. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I love you. I love your ways. Amen. 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 I prayed that myself. I want Christ to strengthen my heart so I can be patient toward others like he's patient toward me. Isn't that a good feeling? That's a great feeling. Kind of lifts the burden off of your shoulders of having to make stuff happen. All right. We're over. It's 20 minutes after, so I apologize for going 5 minutes over, but I do it every time, so why do I keep apologizing? I don't know. Thank you all for coming tonight. Bring a friend next time. Remember, next Saturday is praise night, so come to that. Bring a friend. The following week, you know, let's pack this place out. We're going to teach others how to love God's ways. Amen? Amen. All right.